So this morning, I want to begin by reading in 2 Kings chapter 14, the 22nd verse, actually the 23rd verse, reading to the 25th. And this is just going to give us a little bit of context this morning. It says, in the 15th year of Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria, and he reigned for 41 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and he did not turn away from any of the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. Verse 25, he was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo, Hamath, to the Sea of the Arabah, in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, the prophet from Gath Hepher. So here's where we see the beginning of Jonah's story. We think that the book of Jonah that we've been looking at over the last 3 weeks is really the beginning of Jonah's story, and it really isn't. And so we look in this obscure book of 2 Kings, and we see actually that Jonah was a popular preacher by this point. When we show up to the book of Jonah, we begin to see all of God's interactions with Jonah. He's already a pretty popular guy. He's already somebody who has spoken into the lives of kings, and they've taken his advice, and God's favor has rested on Israel because of Jonah's faithfulness. And so Jonah is a faithful prophet of God, and his words have reestablished really in so many ways the prosperity of God's people. So we're in the last week of our first series together. It's called Dot to Dot. And really what we wanted to establish is that God is doing and God's not done. Amen? God's doing something in our lives. God's doing something in our church, and God's not done. He's just doing it dot by dot. And so we begin to look at these four D's of the dot to dot. And the first D we talked about in the first week was desire. That if you're ever going to see a masterpiece that God's creating in our lives, we must have a desire. And that's what we talked about as our dot number one. That when we realize that our dot number one is exactly where you and God are right now. No manufacturing, no adjustments, no faking, no excuses. There is a place where you find yourself right now, and God's there. And so dot number one, the beginning point of what God is doing in our life, in our church, in our families, in our marriages, is dot number one. And it's not a mistake. It's the start of something beautiful. It's not a spot, we said, it's a dot. It's the dot of something beautiful. And so those things that we saw in Jonah's story, the wind and the whale and all of these different things, they weren't a mistake. They were actually not even punishment. They were God's preparation of the dot. So it's not punishment. What you're going through, what God has allowed you to pass through in your life, is not a punishment. In many ways, it's an intervention. It's a rescue. It's a preparation of a dot. God loves to create beautiful things from impossible beginning points. And so if you're thinking, gosh, you know what? My dot is way off. I mean, it's not even in the light. Like, we couldn't even get it lit up. It's like way over here, right? There's no way God could ever pull anything beautiful, never create anything beautiful from my dot. But I want you to know that God loves creating things from impossible beginnings. And so we went from desire to direction. And we talked about in week two this idea of the go be do, and that what God was calling you, where God was calling you to go, and what God was calling you to be, and who God was calling you to go be, and what he's calling you to do. And we talked about it was direction, not just desire, but it's a direction that God's calling you to do. That God allows second chances. And so if you're here today and you've just basically been a collaboration of mistakes and you just haven't gotten it right yet, God allows second chances. And that in this masterpiece, God's results depend on Him, not on us. And as we learned in Jonah's story, God responds well when we turn towards Him. So in chapter 2, when Jonah decides to return to God, to move back to God, God responds very, very well. And we talked about dot number 2 is this idea of the intersection between the dream and the realization. And so maybe dot number 1 is where you and God are at now, but then God has said, you know what? I want you to go over here. I want you to do this. I want you to be this person. And I'm going to show you what it is. I'm going to give you a dream. It's going to bubble up inside of you. Each one of us has this dot number 2, this direction that God wants us to go, what God wants us to be, what God wants us to do. And so we decided that we have, not only do we have a dot number 1, but we have a dot number 2. And then last week, we kind of stopped adding dots to the canvas, and we talked about this Latin word, distantia, which we know in English as the distance. The distance, and really what it's not necessarily the distance between A and B. In a lot of ways, it's the discord and the debate between dot 1 and dot 2. It's not really the distance between this dot and this dot and this dot and this dot. It's not necessarily measured in inches. It has a lot more to do, as we said last week, with theology than it does with geography. We said last week that you need to have an understanding of what you believe about God. Is God fair? Is God faithful? Is God listening? Has God forgotten you? Is God a liar? Is God working? And Jonah came to a point in his story where he said, you know what? I decided that God's not fair. He's not faithful. He's forgotten about me. And we see in chapter 4, Jonah just quits. He walks away for the second time. He says, you know what? I quit. I'm done. I'm mad. You're not doing it the way I want you to do it. And God is patient with Jonah. He's patient with you. We said at the end of the sermon last week that God is willing to clarify His love and His compassion. And so if you're here today and you're not sure if God loves you, you're not sure if God's fair, you're not sure if God remembers you, we serve a God who's patient and will demonstrate that to you. He will take His time to clarify His love and compassion for you. But He will also, like He did in Jonah's story, He will correct your priorities. He will bring the worm. He will bring the wind to correct the way you're thinking. He's not going to change the scenario just because He loves you. He wants to correct your priorities. And He wants to close this distance between your character and your calling. Your character and your calling. You and God and where He's taking you. He wants to close this gap between your character and your calling. That distance between what you think He's doing in your life. So desire, direction, and distance. And I thank you for being so patient with my long introductions. I don't think I've ever preached sermons with such long introductions in my life. Sorry. Desire, direction, distance, and then fourth and finally, decision. Today is about a decision. If you hear one thing I say this morning, hear what I'm about to say. God provides dots. We connect dots through obedience. God provides the dots. God is the dot maker. You and I are the line connectors. God does not connect dots. You and I connect dots through obedience. God creates dots. But the only way masterpieces come into fruition, come to reality, get fulfilled in our lives, is if you and I are willing to be obedient, are willing to connect the dots. And see, here's the thing. When you are willing to connect the dots, something beautiful occurs. Watch this. God is doing something. He's creating. He's creating a masterpiece out of our dots. I want to thank Melanie for a beautiful, beautiful aid in the sermon illustration. And what a beautiful illustration that it came from this. Because you have to have looked at this and think, how could anything come of that? And that's not just in church and on Sunday morning, but you're looking at your dot and you're looking at your dot number two and you're saying, how could anything come from that? And the title of the message this morning is Obedience is Sold Separately. Obedience is sold separately. To truly define what a decision is, it's this idea of moving on and towards, and instead of continuing to oscillate or to vacillate, swinging between things emotionally or mentally or spiritually or physically. You know those things in our lives where it's like we just go back and forth. Our lives maybe are just a series of back and forths. You know, I'm over here for a while, and then I'm over here for a while, or you know, I think I want to do this, but no, I'm not going to do this. And you know what? That's kind of the oscillating, right? And oscillating, the definition of oscillating is to go back and forth with a rhythm, right? To vacillate means you go back and forth, but it's just kind of, there's no rhythm to it. So we're oscillating. Sometimes we just keep going back and forth. I'm on the wagon for 2 weeks. I'm off the wagon for 2 weeks. I'm on the wagon. That's kind of the oscillating. The vacillating is you're just out of control. Like, I don't know. I'm going this way. I'm pulled this way, or I'm pulled this way. And what we're deciding today to do is we're deciding to move on. Move towards something. See, you know, for a long time in my life, I had an English problem. I still have a lot of English problems. But one of the English problems that I had was I couldn't determine the distinction between then and then. Right? I never could understand, do I use the T-H-E-N or do I use the T-H-A-N? And I never knew how to put that correctly. And really, I was in my 40s. I'm just 42 now. I was literally in my 40s until 3 graduate degrees. And I still couldn't figure it out. This is silly. Pay attention in 7th grade English. I didn't. And so I didn't know. But there's a sermon in that. See, our lives, most of the time, are spent with Dan. T-H-A-N. This rather than this. This rather than this. There has to come a point in our lives where we move on to then. You just go to the next thing. Then. Then I moved into it. Then it happened. Then I became this. No longer am I this rather than this. Back and forth. Options. But I'm going to step into it. And so when we talk about desire and direction and distance, we must decide to follow God. We must make a decision to stop oscillating and vacillating between options and decide to be obedient to God. Amen? That's the decision. Will we decide to be obedient to God? Because here's the thing. There's 1,082 words. So the internet tells me. I didn't count them myself. In the book of Jonah, 1,082 words. But I think the fulcrum, the middle of it, is 11 words in Jonah chapter 3, verse 3. Jonah 3:3. What's it say? 11 words. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Jonah obeyed. Jonah chapter 3, verse 3. Jonah obeyed. Now, he had been given this offer before. He had similar words. God gave similar words in chapter 1, and he arose and fled. But in chapter 3, he arose and went. One of the things I want to point out to you, and this is one thing I want to challenge you on today. he had similar passion in fleeing from God as he did in going towards God. Think about this for a second. Are you as passionate a Christian as you were a heathen? I mean, do you party as hard for Jesus as you partied on your own? Here's the thing. I want to take me to a concert. Are you as excited at your secular concerts as you are at church? Because here's the thing. Jonah had similar passion. He was like, listen, I'm out. Like, he fled. In chapter 1, when God said, listen, I want you to go to Nineveh, he was like, nope, I'm out. He runs, tries to get on the boat. But we see in chapter 3, that same passion, that same velocity, it was when he went. And so I wonder today, do we serve the Lord and seek to obey as passionately as we had done or are doing in anything else in our lives? I mean, think about Paul, the Apostle Paul, in the passion, writes 2/3 of the New Testament, how passionate he was about Jesus Christ. Well, that's how passionate he was to kill Christians before he got saved. He had a passion to eradicate the way until God awakened him. And then he was that passionate. So I want to challenge us today that think about that. Maybe this is your takeaway today. That God is calling you and I to be more passionate about the things that we believe in. And it doesn't mean that you have a perfect life. Because we see in chapter 4, in full disclosure, Jonah still has some issues, right? We see in chapter 4, Jonah still has some issues. He's still upset in chapter 4 about this whole thing God was doing and how he thought it was unfair that God was still blessing these people that were his enemies. Jonah still had issues. You and I are going to still have issues. It's okay. The issue is now that you don't have to struggle anymore. You may still struggle in some area of your life. But through the power of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit that lives within you, you don't have to struggle anymore. It doesn't mean you don't struggle, but prior to coming to faith in Jesus Christ, you had to struggle. You had no other option. You were a slave to sin. And now you're no longer a slave to sin. But it doesn't mean that you won't sin or you won't struggle. Let me give you another illustration of what I'm talking about today. Matthew chapter 21, let's look at that together. Are you with me? Say amen. So Jesus is entering Jerusalem on this final week of the famous passage called the triumphal entry, and he tells a couple parables, but in Matthew 21, verse 28, he tells this parable about two sons. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. Verse 29, I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Verse 30. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? So you have two sons. The first son says, I'm not going. And then decides later on he's going to go. The second son says, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going. And never actually goes. And then he goes on and he finishes out the story with this. It says, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. And just condensing this all up, basically what Jesus is saying to these people, he's talking to the church folk. Can you believe this? He's talking to the church people, the people that go to church every week. He's saying, listen, you church people, you religious people, you say that you're going to follow me. You say you're going to be obedient to me, but you never really are. Guess who gets in before you? The tax collectors and the prostitutes. See, those who initially in word or lifestyle or action said no to me, rejected me. And then later, they were confronted with their sin. They were confronted with their struggle. They repented. They not only did they turn their direction. Repentance means to change your mind and then change your direction. And so you're going in this certain direction. And all these preachers talk about repentance. What they're saying is that when you repent of something, you say, I'm going to change my mind. I'm no longer going to want to go this direction. I change my mind first. I don't want to go this direction anymore. I want to go towards God. Change your mind. And then they change their direction. And he's saying in this passage, in this parable, that the prostitutes and the tax collectors, though they had rejected initially, they repented and they went towards God. But the second son, symbolizing the religious folk, had a verbal commitment, but they had actual disobedience. Religious lip service. I'm a good person. I never killed anyone. You like that one? I never killed anybody. I'm a good person. I follow the top 10. But what Jesus is saying, and what Jonah was saying, and what's true today and what's true always, doing is more important than saying. Doing is more important than saying. Regardless of your history, regardless of your background, regardless of the labels the world has put on you, when you have repentance, when you have faith, when you have obedience, you're making a decision. And that decision pleases God and gives you access to the masterpiece. It gives you access to what God wants to do in your life. Jesus is rebuking the religious folk because of their disobedient lip service. And he draws this crazy conclusion. He says, listen, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going to get into the kingdom of God before the church folk. Church, you know this. It's not what we say, but it's what we decide to do with our lives that proves if we are an atheist or a theist. It doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter how hard we can argue the truth of the Bible or how definitive we can be in the argument to convince other people. If our lives are not showing Christianity, we're a practical atheist. So I've told you about Jonah's story. I've told you about this parable. Let me tell you a little bit about my story. For 9 years, I was a lead pastor at Brook Hills Free Methodist Church in Wellsburg, West Virginia. And I loved my church. In the last several months, God made it very clear that our ministry had come to an end. That season in our lives had come to a close. And I would be lying to you if I told you that I had that all resolved and all packaged and categorized perfectly. I got it all. I understand everything that's going on and why it went on. And I'm working in my own life, in my own family, to not suppress that, but also not let those thoughts consume me. But what happened is I was searching at a very quick point for a new location, a new place to serve and to love God and to lead people to Jesus Christ. And that search went from coast to coast, talking to a church in Seattle, Washington, all the way to Portland, Maine. And in the middle, Buffalo, New York, Northern Michigan, Illinois. But the most and largest dots were in this small city called Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And so we went from Seattle to Portland. But where God's dot was for me and for my family was in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. So we've stepped out in obedience. We made a decision to connect our dot where God had us with where God was calling us. The problem is that God is a dot provider. He's not a line connector. And so I could have sat in Wellsburg, West Virginia for the next 6 months, pouting, crying, moaning, complaining, wondering, searching, driving, flying all over the country, trying to figure out, where does God want me to be? Where's my dot number two? Where am I going to do it? What am I going to do? Why were they mean to me? Why did it? And it came right down to it is, I've given you a dot, Bryce. Do you decide to connect those dots. And we did. And I stand before you today. My plan, our plan, is to work with the leaders of this church to discern where and who and what dot number three is. Because guess what? I stand before you a month in and I don't know dot number three. I know dot number two. And I've connected those dots. But when we as leaders and as a church body decide what dot number three is, I am asking for all of us to be radically obedient to connect those dots. I'm not gonna have you stand up and like take the pledge. But here's the thing: it's not going to work unless we're obedient. God could set dots all over the place for us. God could have a wonderful plan for Northway Community Church. But if we fail to be obedient, if we fail to decide to connect the dots, the masterpiece will never come into view. You'll just see dots, but you won't see what God has been trying to create, because obedience is sold separately. Line connecting is sold separately. You and I and Jonah are the only ones who can connect the dots. Let's bring this in for a landing. We have a really good example of a line maker, a dot connector. His name is Jesus. That's exactly what Jesus did for you and for me. He leaves heaven. He comes to earth. He follows his Father's directions. He permits himself to be arrested, an unfair trial. He's beaten. He's sentenced to death. He's crucified. He's resurrected. He ascends, and he promises to come back again. Guess what all of those are? Those are dots. Those are dots. And it's only through the obedience of Jesus Christ that we're able to see the beautiful picture of forgiveness and salvation. See, that could be God's plan. Hey, I want you to go down to the, I want you to go down to earth, and then I want you to have all these conversations with people and pick these 12 guys, and then I want you to have this little supper, and then this, you're going to get arrested. And then, I mean, think about every point where Jesus could have just said, you know what? No, I quit. I'm done. I'm mad. I mean, if you remember, the Bible scholars among us, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he's arrested, he has this kind of crazy conversation with God, right? He kind of says, okay, is there any other way we can do this? I mean, is there any other way? I mean, is there any other way? But then he says, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus continues to obey. He connects the dots, trusting the Father knew what was best. Jesus continued to trust even when the masterpiece looked like a mess. There's no way you'd be lying if you said, oh yeah, I see this mountain, snow-covered mountains in that, right? But Melanie saw it. Melanie created a masterpiece out of our dots. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He said, listen, I'm going to continue to trust the Father even when the masterpiece looks like it's a mess. And God brought something beautiful through the dots. However, it would never have been seen without the obedience of the Son. Church, there's just really no way to complicate this. So if you're sleeping, you want to wake up. God has brought people. He's brought us to places. He's given us situations and opportunities in our lives as divine dots. If we will be obedient to connect the next dot, not all at once, but the next dot, something beautiful will come into view. So I challenge us today. Your dot is not my dot, but I challenge each and every one of us to commit to obey the Lord today. commit to obey and to connect the next dot you see. You can have a desire, you can have direction, you can have a distance, but today it's about decision. Will you decide to say yes to the dot that is right ahead of you? And so today what we're going to do is in our response time is that we have our markers again. And what I want you to do, and not that I would ever expect you to remember where your dots are. That's not the point. Don't get lost in the gimmick. Lots of gimmicks here. This is a gimmick. Don't get lost in the gimmick. What I want you to do is I want you to find one dot and connect it with another. And by coming forward and connecting the dots, you're symbolizing that you are saying, yes, when I see dot number two, I am committing to obey. I realize that obedience is sold separately, and so I am willing to connect the dots. And so that simple physical act has a spiritual power to it. That I want you to physically connect two dots. And by coming forward and connecting those dots, I want you to realize that obedience is sold separately. Obedience is sold separately. You're thinking, Pastor, I just don't know. I don't understand. I'm not sure if I know exactly the formation and the circumference of dot number two. It's just a little vague to me. I'm not sure. I mean, it's kind of like this one. Or no, it looks no, it's that. No, I don't. I'm not sure. What I challenge you to do today is give small obedience, because it always beats great intention. Small obedience will always beat great intention. You know, I'm like this. I wait for the larger, the more profound. I'm going for the grand slam. I want the big thing. I want to go for it, right? What happens is that when you're looking so big and you're dreaming so big, you miss all of the smaller dots that God wants you to connect. And you're going to miss that thing that God is trying to create. So I know the excuses. If I just had more time, if I had more money, if I had more people, if I had less kids or less demands or less stress, or if I had a different season of my life or different church or different opportunities. Church, they're all excuses for sustained disobedience. That's all that is. Oh, if it was just different. The bottom line is obedience is sold separately. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up in a moment and lead us. But I want to pray over our communion. And what I'd like to do for communion today is I want to share. I know there is, Lord, because I know that's the word. This is the word for today. Decision is the word for today. Jonah chapter 3, verse 3. Jonah obeyed. Jonah obeyed. So Lord, today, as we receive the blood and the body, the juice and the bread, we receive you. We remember you. We recognize the symbols that you have allowed us to have, to remember your death, to remember your resurrection, to remember that obedience is sold separately. Father, thank you for Northway Community Church. Thank you, God, for the small beginnings. Thank you, God, for what is being planted in this season, in the life of our church, because God, we know that which is planted will sprout, will grow, will spread, and will be beautiful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.